Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
A small bald chap called Keith. It's great for my CV, actually. I can sort of say, well, Bill couldn't make a particular, he was delayed, and he asked me to stand in. I'm just kidding. It's just good to be here. Thank you for praying for Portugal. Bom dia. Tudo bem? E bom estar aqui. Bem-vindo à nossa igreja. Hello. Are you well? It's good to be here. Welcome to our church. I really appreciate you actually praying for Portugal because I've got a passion for Portugal. I've been ministering in Portugal on and off for probably about 12 years. And they desperately need the gospel. They desperately, we all do, but actually there's a really heavy Catholicism around Portugal which we need to just pray into. Because we know that actually it's not religion that changes lives. It is relationship with Jesus as we go forward. So thank you so much for praying as we're away, when we're away, etc. So I got a call yesterday from Lou, who was very, very calm and said, Bill Hull is delayed on the aircraft, so we've got a two-day conference tomorrow where Bill is speaking to lots of pastors from around the region. We've organized that and lots of organization leaders. So there's about 50 coming, so please pray as we have those folk coming here. We want to be a catalyst in the city as a church for disciple-making. So it's not just about Bethel, it's about us actually encouraging the city and the West Midlands. We've got people coming from down south, from Plymouth, from London, from all over the UK. The first ever Bonhoeffer UK conference, and we will be the centre of that in the sense of organisation. Lou's done a fantastic job, and we're really excited about what the Lord's going to do. And we want to be one of the first fruit as a church. Say we really want disciple making to be at the heart, to be at the very center, the DNA of who we are as individuals. And that's what the whole series has been about, has been about how we are with that. So we want disciple making to be at the DNA. And that means a wineskin change. So let me pray. So heartfelt to hear from Frank earlier on in writing. He's such a great guy. I'm just so grateful to the prayers of Frank and many others who love to be here, and we need to pray ongoing healing. So Lord, we lift up this situation with Frank at the moment. We thank you so much for our brother who, in spite of his challenges, sees it fit to think of us often and write as the Apostle Paul would to the church and give us his encouragement in writing and in prayer. And we feel that, Lord, as he sends us on our way to Portugal. And as he prays for this church daily, for the gospel and for the message, Lord, we thank you so much. We pray we'll have praying hearts. We pray for those who are struggling. We thank you that Josh has got back safely after celebrating the life of his father, Lord. I pray that you would bless and encourage the kindest family. We think equally of the Thatcher household who has a funeral tomorrow, of Sue's dad. I just pray that you would be there, Lord, that you would just speak through your servants that attend into the grieving hearts and uplift that household to you and ask, Lord, that you do what you do best. Lord, you bring your healing and comfort so we in turn can comfort others. So, Lord, would you continue to work in us in our time together that's left today, and may we hear directly from you, and may you get the glory in and through our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, obviously, I wasn't really supposed to be speaking today, and so that's the way it goes. And so about 10 o'clock last night when I got in from leave, I was able to scribble a few things down. I pray the Lord will speak to us. That's the key thing. It's not about what I write, is it? So he takes the weak things of this world. And I appreciate the fact that so many things we've been talking about for probably about 8 months is what does it mean to be a disciple, a close follower of Jesus? And I think there's two issues. It's kind of like a discussion, really, if you want. I think there's two issues. One is we already think we know what a disciple is, and it's the same for any word we hear a lot. We say, oh, well, I know what that is. It's someone who does an intense course or something and is a bit more serious than the average Christian about following Jesus, and that's not what a disciple is. Or maybe we have a different view. Or it's just for a select few. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk through. It's an extra message that I've inserted into the series, which is about daily discipleship. Because every single one of us who profess to love and know Jesus Christ, and there's the big if. If we've at one stage said, Lord, I want to know you. I want to follow you. I want to do things your way. Then we are called, each of us, without any exceptions whatsoever, we are all called to be disciples. And that can frighten some people because they immediately think of those who lead the charge into foreign mission or in other parts of the world and think, well, that's really what it's about. Or it's about those people who speak a lot, who can share Jesus easily on the front line. And it's not just those things at all. We are all in our categories. And I want to encourage you today, whatever your category or sphere or realm of operation that the Lord has put you in, because there was a stage you said, Jesus, I am yours. Can I assume that at least? And if you haven't said that, then we need to pray that you bow the knee to Jesus. But I need to assume for this conversation, because there's a kind of a couple of things. I put three things up there briefly. There's a couple of things that are about our attitude. And then there's kind of some things, some practical things at the end, and I will check my little thing at the bottom. But some practical things I hope will help us in the day-to-day of, well, how do I actually go about becoming a disciple? Because it is a becoming. It is not, I'm already there already. I mean, Paul says this to the Philippian church. In prison, chapter 3, verse 10, I want to know Christ. And I guess that's most of us here, many here would say that. A disciple is someone who becomes like Jesus, knows their master. Paul says, I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection. And we get a lot of amens in churches with those sort of verses. The power of his resurrection at work in my everyday life. But then it says, and participation in his sufferings. And I don't see many cues for that. I don't know about you, I'm not rushing to that cue to suffer for Jesus, for his name. Becoming like him, Paul wants to clarify what that suffering might mean. He says, becoming like him in his death. That's huge. And I struggle in my Western comfort to grab hold of that context of what it might mean for me to give every single fiber of my body and mind and soul and spirit to the King of Kings, who bought me at a price. And I struggle with that. You see, I think one of the problems in the modern culture doesn't help us, no matter how old we are today. One of the problems is we are not good. We're not good at journeying, at the journey part. With little ones, and it was a real treat this week to meet our grandson for the first time. He's gorgeous. See me at the end, got a little picture. But sometimes I'm expecting him, when he starts to talk on a long journey, to say something like in the back, are we there yet? Anyone had that? Are we there yet? And it's something a child might say in the back of a car. But even if we don't say it as believers, or even if we don't say, are we there yet in our lives, in all sorts of ways, we portray it by our attitudes to things. And that can be in all sorts of things. We're unwilling to work at things anymore. Well, we live in a society that doesn't work at relationship anymore. That doesn't work at church anymore. That doesn't work at doing the job in that sense. When things get hard, there's a motto, if you don't like it, don't worry, just change. Just change it. We live in a fickle world. Some people have said and there's a new generation coming up, which is an entitled generation. And that worries me when it comes to the things of God. What sort of disciples Christ followers were making. And this can transfer this kind of let's change it because it's not working. This shop around mentality. It can feed into my spiritual life if I'm not careful. I don't like it, so I just need to do something else. And you know, the ultimate example is we end up with prosperity gospel. Have you heard of that? Prosperity gospel says, well, you just need to pray and pray and pray some more. And you can demand in the name of Jesus. It's a powerful name. It surely is. Absolutely. But you can demand anything you want. And they'll take verses that Jesus said out of context. If you ask anything in my name, you can have it. And that can extend to your house or car. You see, the ultimate me-centered religion ends up with prosperity gospel. Even if we don't we sign up to that, it comes through. Or perhaps, maybe if you studied anything in theology, there was a kind of school of liberation theology. It's usually by lots of large groups of people who are very, very oppressed, and it's really hard. Liberation theology takes the Exodus narrative and says, we are like those people. And so it's about us and God delivering us. It's not about his story anymore. Liberation theology said it's about my story. God is always on the side of the oppressed. No, he isn't. He's always against oppression. That's very different. And you see, we can change the story of scripture to suit my now needs. And so, disciple. It's because becoming a disciple is hard work. Because it takes disappointment after disappointment. Because it takes trial after trial. And self-denial. And all sorts of things that are not in the brochure when we go to the concert. Then it's so tough. And so, all of us, the good news is, can become a disciple. And what I wanted to do today is, seriously, if I haven't already, just hang in. I wanted, good timing, to encourage all of us. To encourage all of us. What does that look like? And I think there are a couple of attitudes in my heart, and then a few practical things that will help me and you. Genuinely, if we're in the place of, yes, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I think a couple of things, and there are more that you might know. But I just want to mention these because it's so important, because they are lacking so often in my life. And I just want to encourage us, if we are even a bit serious, Lord, please help me to do this better. Because a disciple is someone who has entered relationship with Jesus through the cross. And so often we stop there. I've entered the relationship. I'm waiting for heaven. And the Lord does not want that. He wants us to become like him. Paul says, I want to become like him. That's my goal as a disciple here on this earth. The only reason Jesus didn't take me when I was 16 years old, when I first gave my life and heart to Jesus Christ, is because he wants me to become more like him and to tell others about him now. It's the only reason I am here. And then we follow this discipleship journey. And we don't journey. We say, are we there yet? That church isn't there yet. I'm going to go to another place where I think they might be there yet. And then we're disappointed again. Or we get frustrated with our own life. So we stop trying to engage because we feel we've failed at following Jesus as well. Anyone feel sometimes failure? The Lord never wants us to feel a failure in that sense. Paul was, just after the verse that I just mentioned about, I want to become like Jesus, says this in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this. I'm not there yet. So Paul's answer is, no, we're not there yet. Not that I've already obtained this or arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I don't consider myself, brothers and sisters, to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, this one thing I'm going to do, forgetting what is behind, things happen, and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. I want to encourage you today to press on in Jesus. Press on. So the good news for all of us this morning is we're all disciples, and all of us can actually move on in our journey with Christ. It doesn't matter how long we spend in church. It doesn't depend on that. It doesn't depend how long we pray. It doesn't depend on all of those things. There might be good things to do. But there's several things. I was really praying about this yesterday, unexpectedly. Just really thinking about, what is it, Lord? You stuck me up here for a reason. We've got to get over that. Thank you. And I just thought, look, I want to encourage God's people to keep going as disciples. On that journey of becoming a disciple, a stronger, more like Christ. And I think the first point I've got on there, really, and this is something that we don't want to do, is the importance of seeing the importance of trials. Developing character through trials. James 1 puts it like this, which is very much clearer than I could ever say. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. He's mad, isn't he? Consider it pure joy, because you know, this is the fruit. Listen for the fruit of a trial. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work. Don't quit. Let perseverance finish its work. Don't click off the download. You're too impatient to wait for it. Let the perseverance, the character of God, develop in you. Let perseverance finish its work so that you... Why? What will happen if I let the Spirit work? What will happen? So that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So if I flight around, can we see? If a trial is something that I'm a victim all the time, I'm a constant victim. Why is God doing this to me? Anybody said that? It's not a bad thing to say. The Psalms are full of people saying, Lord, why? Where are you? Has anyone said that before? Great. Thank you, Rachel. I have. Anybody else? Anybody not said it? Is that easier? It's hard, isn't it? Why me? It's just so obvious. It's a very natural response to things. Why can I be fully fit? Why me? Who gets joyfully excited when trials come? Consider it pure joy. Anybody get joyfully excited? This is so countercultural. James knows something, though. Let's not throw this away. James knows something of the value of trials, in brackets, for Jesus. When I think back to some of my most challenging life chapters, and it's not a pity party, but like losing parents early, whatever it might be, that's hard, isn't it? When I think back to rejections, not feeling good enough, all sorts of delays, the Lord was often working the deepest in me. Often. I was so busy wailing, I couldn't see it. See, with tears, eyes full of tears all the time. You can't see clearly. The Lord loves those. And I just want to see the value. The disciple says, Lord, this trial is here for a reason. What are you... A great question is, Lord, what are you doing in my life? What are you showing me about you and about me through this trial? Beautiful attitude. Absolute gorgeous attitude. You know, a lot of people like footprints in the sand. I do, by the way. I'm not going to... We know it's not scripture, but it's touched a lot of people. There's lots of things out of scripture that are good. And I get the premise of that because it's about, Lord, when I look back at my life, you carried me. And it's true. Isn't it wonderful we have a Savior who carries us? Isn't it marvelous? Amen. Can I add to that, as well as looking back at our helpless selves being carried? Could I just ask us to look and consider what the trial might have been producing in us. Because I can stay as a victim and say, Lord, the next 20 years I just need to be carried because this is too hard. And life is hard. But I believe as disciples of Jesus, genuinely, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Honestly. And the amens from people whose daughter's been ill. Tragically, difficult, awful times. We've been praying for Naomi for years now. Lord's been good. But it's hard. Still good. Thank you. Thank you. You see, when we put ourselves in God's way, as soon as we stick our head above the parapet and say, I am totally yours, like Frank has instructed the whole team to be like, as soon as we say, I'm yours, the enemy's busy and angry. Very, very busy and angry. And I'm encouraged by the enemy's activity. It means he's scared. He knows we're dangerous. You see, Joseph, probably my hero of scripture, one of them, when I was first going through in my early formation years of loving scripture and wanting to know more of God's plan for my life. I saw Joseph and his attitude. Whatever he did, the writer says, the Lord was with him. And at the end, when he had great, great opportunity, and we wouldn't have minded him having revenge on his brothers, we'd have seen it as part of the culture, or we'd have said something like that to try and smooth it over. He doesn't. In Genesis 50, speaking to his trembling brothers, he looks back at all the trials, being down the pit, being sold, in prison, all of the mistreatment, being unfairly accused by Potiphar's wife, all the tragedy. And he says in Genesis 15:19, but Joseph, don't be afraid. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Wow. Joseph. I want a heart of Joseph that says, Lord Jesus, thick and thin, good weather, bad weather, I want to follow you and see what you're doing. I might not see it in the hole. I might not see it in prison. But Lord, I trust you. Paul says, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. What Joseph and Paul and James and others know that I don't about trials. That refine me and take off the bits that are really, really ugly. And there are a lot of them. You don't have to agree. But there are. Do you know one of the most encouraging passages in scripture, Jesus said from his own mouth, is the Beatitudes. Billy Graham called them the beautiful attitudes of God's people. And at the end of the ones we love, it says, blessed are, how happy are. He's talking about people who are meek. The poor spirit. Many of us will know that. But at the end of that passage, he says, how happy. Blessed are you who are persecuted because of righteousness. You should be so thrilled. James says that. Consider it joy. Blessed are you, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, says Jesus, persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. That's the qualifier, isn't it? Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. They've done it to people before. We know no servant's greater than his master. We can suffer. We want to welcome trials. Maybe you suffer not doing things at work. So you're the one who doesn't use the language, I hope. You're the one who just is different at work. And you suffer, you get left out. You're not in the group. You're not on the social media page. I'm not saying those things are bad per se. I'm just saying there are things we can not do that still separate out the goodness of God in our choices. And that might mean we get trials. But whatever we face, I've said it so many times, we want that mountaintop experience, but want to use the cable car to get there. Lord, help me just to east to the top to see the vista and worship you. Well, being a disciple is a trudge. But the good news is, it changes me. And I've had to pray this prayer many times, and it's a really tough prayer. Lord, if I truly want to be a disciple, I'm going to have to accept those things that you allow in my life to shape me into your likeness. That's really hard. Because I don't know what those things are for a start. But he wants to make me like his son. And I want to be like that. And so if that's going to happen, I need to desire his presence. I'll be briefer on this. I'm going to need to be so close to Jesus when life is so hard. I'm going to need almost a second by minute update. We sing that old chorus sometimes, I like it, to be in your presence, to sit at your feet where your love surrounds me. I'm going to need his presence in every way. If I'm going to face trials in his comforts, I need his presence in his direction, in his leading for my life. Paul says it this way to a church that wanted salvation but didn't want the hard journey, Galatians. Wanted to do things their way. Galatians 5:6. So I say, says Paul, walk by the Spirit, keep in step, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh, the natural human self, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the human nature. They are in conflict, so that you are not to do whatever, just whatever you want. Right into that church, I just wanted the benefits without the trial and the shaping. You know, I love that word, like keep in step. Keep in step. It suggests, whenever you walk with someone, does anyone like walking here? No? Susie, of course. Do you like going on a walk with other people, Susie? And yeah, of course, thank you. I love Susie. She's straight out with it, isn't she? But it's true, isn't it? When we are with people, it's so lovely, isn't it? Because it's a picture of intimacy. I love running with other people because you chat. You chat with people. And keeping in step suggests a close intimacy. I'm going this way. Shall we go through this way now? Hey, look over there. That'd be really... And you kind of keep talking. And do you know what, can I say what concerns me? This is an attitude. So, Lord, whatever trials it is, I want them to shape me, but I'm going to need to stay really close to you because it's a lamp for my feet. I want to really hear what you're saying to me. And what frustrates me, I suppose, is that the word? No, saddens me. It's not frustrates. Saddens me often. Is I often hear people talking about their plans. Everyday plans for jobs, for houses and life. And I often hear very little prayer, communication. Lord, is this what you would like me to do now? Is this where you would like me to live right now? You know I hate it. You know this job gets me down. But Lord, is it your place? You know I'm frustrated with church, Lord. I know that. But Lord, is this where you'd have me serve others for you, to model what I want to see in others around me? That's beautiful. You see, I'm convinced that if we were truly in step with the Spirit, whatever was happening around us, we could confidently know, I've said this before, that we were in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. You see, above all of my needs, all of my desires, I don't like this postcode. I'm not sure about this. Above all of that, I genuinely want to be where Christ wants me to be. It's the only way. Every other way is painful. It's agony. Ask Jonah. It's difficult. And can I just say, if we try and maneuver God, because we're not sure what he's doing, so maybe we'll say, well, Lord, I'm not sure what you're doing. I think it's a question of trust, ultimately. If we try and go ahead of the game like Abraham, Hagar, all sorts of things, I think in my spirit I might be saying, Lord, I don't trust you. And that's between me and the Lord, and you and the Lord. But I want to trust him. And the way I do that is by listening to him and hearing. I'm going to do some practical things and wind this up now. And I'm convinced, utterly, utterly, over the months we'll hear about being a disciple, If I receive trials from the hand of God, seeking what he's trying to do, seeking his word, what's he saying here? Good and bad. And if I keep in step with the Spirit, hearing his voice, and go some practical things in a moment, I'm convinced there will be a peace beyond human explanation in my life. I want Christ to step into the boat in my workplace, and in my home, my relationships, in my body, and declare his peace. Peace. I love that. And I think then we'll increasingly become like him through that. So what might that look like? Could you give me a couple of minutes? Spiritual. I meant to put discipline. I'm sorry, I was a bit late last night. But spiritual disciples is good as well. There are certain things we... about attitudes, about me looking for Christ even through the trial. That's an attitude of seeking and looking, Lord, what you're doing. It's an attitude of I want to be in step with you. That's kind of my desire base. This is now with some things we do. Spiritual disciplines are things we can do to help us do this, the first two. Spiritual disciplines. I was reading some really good stuff from a guy called Dallas Willard. Brilliant. Brilliant stuff around spiritual disciplines when I was on leave. And some of the most influential people in church history had a rhythm, because it's not a natural thing. Spiritual disciplines for many of us are not natural. Spiritual, they're not natural things to do. So we have to make time. And if you're sat there with six children now, you're thinking, okay, come to my house for a day. We have to weave into the rhythm of our life in some ways. But some of the most incredible people who faced the most incredible periods in history, Ignatius, not our great Ignatius there, but your church father of Loyola. Brother Lawrence, practicing the presence of God. Anyone read it? Washed pots at a monastery. People went to him for wisdom and counseling because he was so close to Jesus. Brother Lawrence wasn't that for completely, always. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, executed by the Germans in the end of the Second World War for standing against the nationalist regime. Beautiful, beautiful man. Written a great book, The Cost of Discipleship. Please read it. Classic. Martin Luther, early 16th century. Great guy. Made mistakes just like all of us, but had disciplines. And there are practices that we can do just as we wind this up. Because I want to be able to hear God in trials. I want to be able to fulfill, consider it pure joy when all these things come. Does anyone else want to get over that kind of depression when anything bad happens? And that instant reaction of, what, me? Anybody want to get over? I do. Or when the wallpapering doesn't work. If you still, I don't know if you do that, but. Paul says to Timothy, train yourself to be godly. One version says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. So there are certain things we can do that will help us. I'll just whisk through these. And if you want to email me or see me or send me a text, I'll email you a full list of things that might help. There's various things that we can do to deny, in a sense, the things that normally crowd out Jesus, that allow us to focus and connect with God in a deeper way. Solitude. Those of you with lots of children are going, great, tell me where the place is. But trying to refrain from interacting with people. We had our leadership day away last November, and we spent an hour or so. We just said, right, just all go out and kick the leaves, we'll call that. Just on your own. And what is the Lord saying to you? And come back together and share. Just that kicking of the leaves. We do that with the students as well at the college. It's a great thing just to go to the park at the back and kick the leaves. Maybe the little ones asleep in the pushchair, and you could, and so that you push them in the park and kick the leaves and say, Lord, I just want to hear you in the sound of what you're doing here. That solitude, refraining from interacting with other people, not permanently, is really, really helpful. Perhaps silence. That's really difficult. It's really difficult. Some people have to have music on in the house, have to have on, have to have the messenger on the phone. Turn your phone off. Turn it all off. Turn off the phone, turn off the TV. Just that sense of silence. You'd be on the way out. Now, not everyone can fast, but fasting. Maybe it might be fasting from media. That's not a bad thing these days. That's quite good. I'm going to take this one, I think. Can I just speak for that one? That's good. Fasting from media, something like that, or from food. It kind of focuses the heart when we are thinking about reaching the heart of God. What about the Sabbath? Who works here 7 days a week? You know, the Lord in his wisdom has allowed a weekly Sabbath that we can take time to focus on his things completely and totally in everything we do. And it's not a cultural thing. It's a command thing. It's there in the top 10. Serving Christ, perhaps in secret. We've got a few words there that might help us. Not just telling everybody what you're doing, but quietly serving only for him. Practicing the art of submission. Who finds it easy to submit to others? Anybody? If you don't respect them, it's even harder, isn't it? Just as Christ did. You could say to Pilate, you know, you wouldn't have any power, would you? Unless it was given. Just trying to build in, even if it's for 10 minutes, half an hour, just some rhythms of solitude. Time with yourself and the Lord. That silence. Turn off the music. Those places to be, to hear God's voice. And then God has put us in a community. He's put us in this community together. We're not alone. We're never meant to be. We're meant to pastor one another. I cannot, and this isn't a pity party, I cannot see every single one of you regularly. You don't want me duplicated, trust me. I want to see a spirit that says, I want to be pastoring each other and sharing. There's various things in the togethers that we can do. Bible reading. That's a really beautiful way, main way God speaks to us. He speaks through the scriptures, through his word. We can do it on our own together. Maybe you're not sure how that works. Ask someone, how can I get into the Bible more? Send me a daily devotional or something. That's something I've been thinking about. Maybe I could send out a daily thing. There's lots of apps you can do that with, but if you're not sure, speak to somebody, speak to me. How can I get God's word daily into my life? You know, our new grandson, Logan, he's a machine. He's going to be a big lad. He eats all the time. He really does. I mean, I've never seen this, a guy like this guy. He's 8 months old. He just goes, two hands, not a problem. He's already learned to slap me on the head. which isn't great. I think it's because we've got the same haircut. But he's amazing. But when it gets to the time when he needs his food, we all know about it. The street know about it. And so often we can go about without our spiritual food, without even a memo. And I can be so weak if I'm not taking in scriptures. Maybe I need some help with that. Worship, even on my own, but together we can come. Thank you for leading today. We're going to sing again in a moment as we close. Talking to God in prayer, conversing, praying together. It's my privilege this morning to join. You know, there's a small group that pray before the service at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning next door in the lounge. And it's my privilege this morning to join them just for a little while. And wow, it was amazing. So encouraging. Just great group to be with and to pray with and just commit the whole service to the Lord. And soul friendship, what does that mean? Well, that's about trying to encourage other people, befriending other people. I honestly believe these things, these disciplines, if will help us as we befriend others. You know, so often we it's about me. But it is really, like I've said before, the radar theory. If I give something out, it's more likely to bounce back and come back to me. And that's how radar theory works. The signal goes out and it hits an object and comes back. And I want to receive love. I'm going to love. If I want to receive hospitality, I want to be hospitable. I want to receive friendship and prayer. I'm going to be prayerful. And as we close this down, that time for personal reflection. Can you imagine just getting up, walking, reflecting what the Lord's saying? You've received a scripture that morning. You've read two verses of a psalm, and the Spirit is just quietly whispering into your trial, into your character. This sounds good. This sounds where I want to be. And so can we understand why, if I'm not feeling it, if I'm not feeling like a disciple is, it might be that we start with one or two of these things. And it may culminate in service. Most people, I know this really, when they come to Jesus, are thrown straight into service. Well, now you need to serve the church. And that's a sort of good thing, but really we can't run on empty. I would say serve yourself spiritually. Feed well. And out of that blessing will come a disciple of Jesus. It will ooze out, and so you'll send letters like Frank did. He sees a disciple, Frank. Wherever he goes, he can't help it. He's just there. He says, I'm going to send a letter. You're going to pray for the team. That's brilliant. Wow. But you see, I've got to be honest. From being a young Christian, these are all things I don't naturally do. I've had to work, and I'm still working, like Paul, Philippians 3. Not that I've attained all of this. I am pressing on, so I want to hear from God. So my attitude is, bring on the trial, Lord. I want to see what you're doing in it. I need to stay clear, close to you, Holy Spirit. Show me where to be. Show me what you're saying. And I'm going to help myself practically by getting in the way of your word. Listening to your voice, being silent, cutting out the noise that's blocking you out. And I think we'll be in good shape. I think we'll start to become really close followers of Jesus. And that would be a wonderful thing. So it would be like a carousel. Rachel, have you got another song for us? Okay, great. It would be like a carousel. You see, imagine if I'm not doing any of that. And it's not about earning. There's nothing wrong with effort. It's not about earning salvation. This is about striving, effort, not earning. But you see, if I'm not listening to the Lord, can you imagine when my trial comes? Can I just go back to the first slide, please? That'll be mine. Can you imagine, as soon as the trials hit, if I'm not hearing from Jesus, if the word's not coming in regularly, if I'm not in that silent place to hear from him, I'm going to kick off. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to feel everything's wrong. If I'm not desiring his presence. So Lord, please,
I just want to pray now. Can we just have a bit of silence before maybe Joel's play? Could I just encourage you into one of those disciplines right now? Just to close our eyes. In silence. Can we invite the Lord who wants to form and shape us into his likeness in? Lord, we've neglected you. You've given us everything we need, Peter says, to live a godly life. Yet, Lord, if I'm honest, I've rushed around. Lord, I want to. Help me, Holy Spirit, to see you at work in the good and the bad. To keep in step with you. To hear you. And to use those wonderful things, your people, your word, worship, all those things, to develop, to become a close follower of Jesus. Lord, I love you. Forgive me, Lord. Just a time of silence in your own heart now.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.